You might like to open your Bible to the book of Joshua and in chapter 6. Joshua and chapter 6. And looking to God to help us. Our Father and God, again, just stopping a moment and looking at your word, and here we are in your presence to help us understand it, why you gave it to us in the first place, that we might have the benefit of it for our here and now. And our God, we're going to thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. And in our exercise of the book of looking at Joshua and looking at their wonderful success for a while and their failure. And we want to learn from it, like God tells us in Corinthians and in Romans. You want to learn from Scripture. It's all given for your example to learn. God said I could have written 1,000 more pages, but what I wrote is so you could understand and gain a wonderful advantage from history. Because after all, Joshua is written after Joshua and not during the battle. It's written about the battle afterwards. And so God gives all the information and he keeps it clear and plain and simple so that we can understand it. Now, having said that, and we've been looking at Joshua chapter 6, in particular because Jericho is the example that God uses on what they're going to do to possess the land and all the cities thereabouts. So now, and we share together in chapter 6 and verse 17, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it, and the Lord only, to the Lord only, God. It's God's city. God's. Everything is God's. He owns from top to bottom. He owns when there's nothing, and God put into the nothingness, as we would look at it, put all the wonderful his creation, and all of it belongs to God. And we are there. God puts us in the middle of the middle of that creation. For what? To understand God's awesome person. So God, we're in the middle of your creation. Everything belongs to you. It's all going to be changed. A new heavens and a new earth. But it's now for us to learn from it. So therefore, here we go, the city and the going to verse 18. And ye, if in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And we shared together, as we have been, on the accursed, what it is. What is the word accursed? To be devoted, that's the same word, curse, to be devoted to destruction, like we used it in Habakkuk. The same word, accursed, is translated net, N-E-T, net. And the net is cast into the sea by the Babylonians, and they pull everything in with a net. The net captures everything in the water as it's pulled in. It captures it. It contains it. It owns it. So the word accursed, to be devoted to destruction, to be set apart for God, by God, for God, to outwork his wonderful will. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and looking at it in the light of our evenings as we're looking, the word accursed, to cut with a knife, to cut with a scythe, to cut the grass the old-fashioned way, to cut the grass, the hay, cut with a scythe, to cut it off, to separate, to devote. God cuts something off for a reason. In this case, Israel, the people in Jericho, and all of the Amorites and all of them, they have had all of the centuries to go by, and it's now God's time to take the land. And in doing so, the city is accursed from top to bottom. We did all of these things. So now, and being accursed then, it is separated from God. It is judged. Now we aren't surprised at that. Everything has a season and a time. Israel, the people in the Genesis chapter 6, they had all of these years. But all they did was evil continually. And God gives so much time, and then the time ends. The time ends. And go to the next thing. And we did. The lamb, like in Leviticus 18, the land vomits up its inhabitants. The inhabitants are living in the land in a way that displeases God, doesn't honor God. And then God says he gives life to the land, and the land vomits up the inhabitants, and a new people come down on top of the land. So now, here we are looking in Genesis 6, the time was up, and God took them. And Abraham walked with God, and Israel comes along, etc. And Israel comes along, and in the process, and not only, I should say, Israel comes along, and Abraham and Lot, etc., and Sodom comes along, Genesis 19, and what are you going to do to Sodom? God takes Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities on the south end of the Dead Sea, all of which wasn't dead, and it took all that and did what he did in judgment. It was time. The city, the people of Israel, are to take over the land. It is theirs. It's time for Israel to be in the land, and because Christ is going to come, born in Bethlehem, and go and be king in Jerusalem ultimately. So therefore, it's time to change. And so here we are, and the land is accursed. Also, that word accursed, we'll go over to Leviticus 27 just quickly, where we were, and in Leviticus chapter 27, and you'll remember that the land was devoted. Chapter 27, as you come to the end of Leviticus, and you'd recall, if I can, going directly, if I may, to verse 28. Now, keep it, we did all this, but a tenth, the first sheep, the first fruit belongs to God. God takes the top, that's his, automatically, for what reason? To help you to know all ten parts belong to God. God takes the first part, and you know it. You don't have to do it. God just says the first part belongs to me, so that you know that all ten parts belong to me. And you practice that. So we're looking to God, and God's looking to God, and God, the people are devoted. And what are we going to do then? Since I learned that little lesson, that I'm devoted, God owns everything, and I am to honor God and to be devoted, accursed, set apart, cut apart, separated for God. No one else can have it. So God, what are we going to do? Verse 27, 28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord, and therefore it's set apart for God. No one else can have it. God said, that's mine. You can't have it. Jericho is God's, and no one else can have it. No one. Don't take anything in it. It's all set apart for God. What is God's, you leave with God. And once God has it, he owns it, and you can't have it. Now, keeping that in mind, begin with that thought, God's accursed, and to be devoted. God has to curse, he does, because he owns everything and has his righteous judgment. In the same time, same word, God is devote, takes and devotes things. He sets them apart to be holy. And that which is set apart for God becomes his. It isn't anyone else's. It's God's. Set apart for God, separated for God. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, go over with me, please, to Isaiah and chapter 24. And in Isaiah and chapter 24, we are reminded, if we can, we are reminded that God's wonderful judgment takes place. Because God has to, everything has a time and a season. The tribulation only has 7 years, and God tells you, that's all I'm going to do. If it's worse, if I let it go longer than that, I'll hardly find anything left. It gets so bad. So it's just 7 years. So here we are looking at the end. Here's the world history taking place. Tribulation's coming up. So when we come to chapter 24, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, he maketh it waste. He turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Judgment. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so as with mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, so with the maker of taker of usury interest, so will the giver of usury to him. And the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. Why? For the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty, proud people of the earth do languish. Now, and the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Why are you going to judge the whole world in the tribulation? Because the whole world. It isn't just Jericho. It's the whole world. The whole world. And verse 5 again. The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws and changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. God made the rainbow, Genesis, the flood. God said, I'm not going to flood it anymore. See, the rainbow doesn't mean I'm not going to judge. I'm just not going to do it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it a different way. Now, what have you done? The world sees the rainbow and says, wow, the message of the rainbow doesn't get down to earth to get to our heads and hearts. God is being gracious to us. God is giving us space. And what have we done? We don't care about that. We don't even see that in the rainbow. And what are this? Thus again, verse 5, they changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant. Verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, accursed and cursed, the same word, devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. Judgment. That's right. That's what's happening in Jericho. God is judging. And God says, when I do that, don't you jump in the pot that I'm cooking. Don't do it. Stay out. Stay away. Don't get there. If you get there, you're going to pay the price. So therefore, God says that the most. And do it again, if I can, Over, if I can, over to chapter 29, 28 better, Isaiah 28, and keeping in mind, in God's wonderful way, and in chapter 28, God is judging Israel again, and the world, and you go from Israel, the judgment of Israel, over into the judgment of the world, and therefore the tribulation, etc. And when you do, you slide it all, and God's going to go and deal with Israel in a way and with the hearts of people. And you're going to read, like in verse, I'm just jumping in the chapter 28, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongue shall he speak unto this people. In other words, God has tried to talk to Israel for all of these centuries, but Israel doesn't listen. God said, I do it different ways. I say the same thing, repent and turn to me. They aren't doing it. Now, so here we are going down the corridor, and when we come down in the whole chapter and jump down, if I can, at verse 15, because you have Israel, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall, when the enemy comes in, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And you'll kid yourself about how you're going to make it. You can't make it without God, but you're kidding yourself. We made a covenant. Ultimately, what are they going to do? Israel is going to have to go and will go and make a covenant. Here's the European community, as you know, and here's the little horn come out of the ten units there, 10 kings, as it were, and the little horn's going to come. That's the Antichrist. And he's going to make a covenant with Israel. Not wait. He's going to make a covenant with Israel to have peace, to build the temple, to be able to do all these things. That's what he's going to do in the light of Islam and all of that, Turkey and all that's happening. Now, keep that in mind. So when you come down now, when you come down to verse 20 a little bit, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower, then he can wrap himself in it. In other words, the bed doesn't fit, the blanket doesn't fit. You're trying to get comfort, you're trying to get rest, and you can't get it. You can't get it. I'm not going to let it happen. Verse 21, for the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and to bring to pass his act, his strange act. Say, boy, why would God ever do that? Verse 22, now therefore, be ye not mockers. Don't play around with it. Take it very seriously. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, a devouring, a setting apart, a consumption, a bringing to an end, bringing to an end, a destruction, consumption, even determined among the whole earth. So God says it's coming. And there it is, God, we're looking to you. God's going to let it all happen. Now, sliding along to where we are, jump over if you can. God's going to let it happen. It cursed. And now God has to help. Here we are. And we're looking, cursed. The world we live in. Malachi, book of Malachi, as you come to the end of your Old Testament, and in Malachi, you'd recall, in Malachi, if I can, in chapter 4, when you come to the end of the Old Testament, verse 5, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest else I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's the word accursed. Judged. Totally judged. Separated unto God. God said, listen, Elijah's going to come. And if you listen to him, it'll save the judgment. Elijah's going to come. Now, so just to see that a little bit so you catch it quickly, if I can, over, if I can, to Matthew chapter 11. I don't want to lose it, yeah. And in chapter 11, if I can, in verse 14. Picking up, I'm just tying it together in the light God said in Malachi, Elijah, if Elijah comes and you receive him, you'll be blessed. What did the Lord say as you think of Wednesday? The John the Baptist came, our Lord came, the disciples came, preaching, the Lord said, preach the Lord's death. The heaven, understand, God said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe right now. But they didn't. So here's Elijah. If Elijah comes, save it. Now, chapter 11, picking up, please, verse 14. And if you receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And I got to read a little bit of it. Verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now, John, and if you receive John the Baptist's ministry, you'll receive. Elijah has come. And if you would receive John, then liken it to Elijah. But they didn't receive John. They didn't receive John. They didn't receive our Lord. So therefore, and if, and it's true, since if you will receive, this is Elijah. This is him. But you aren't doing that. No, we aren't doing it. Chapter 17. And in verse 10. 17 and 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say ye the scribes, that Elias must first come? Malachi 3:6. Verse 11, chapter 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall they also the Son of Man, likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. In other words, you took care of John, you rejected him, and you rejected the Lord who John pointed to. He pointed to what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what he did. If Elijah comes and you receive him, and if you take John, John's coming. He's going to point to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And if you take it, boy, you're ahead of the game. But you didn't do it. You went and crucified him. You didn't do it. Therefore, in the light of that, the curse upon the earth, a curse upon the earth. God's going to judge the earth. Now, chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 27 in Deuteronomy. And may I pick up the thought, if I can. And you will note, verse 13. Chapter 27 and Deuteronomy. And going, sliding along. And here's the whole list of curses. And you're going to start and you're going to go down. And verse 13, 14, 15, 16, a curse. It's a whole list of cursed, and tells Israel, be very conscious of the fact that's cursed. Don't get involved. Trust God. Don't get involved with the world system and idolatry. It's cursed. Don't do it. Now, therefore, as you read chapter 27, and you read all those curses, and you slide down to verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. In other words, all, and you know what James 2 said. James 2 in chapter 10 says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. One point, like we shared together all 1,000 times. If the plane misses the mountain by 1 foot, the crash is the same as if they crashed halfway down. Doesn't matter. If you offend at one point, death is there. The wages of sin is death. Now, and none of that, where you're looking, and it will help us quickly, over to chapter 21. And we are reminded in chapter 21, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22, if I can. And you will note, chapter Deuteronomy, chapter 21, and in verse 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. In other words, get him off of the tree and bury him. For he that is hanged is accursed. There's your word. To hang, be hung on a tree is to be accursed. And thus, that thy land be not defiled, for the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, that it ought to be accursed. Now jumping quickly for time over to chapter 30 and tie that together. What are you telling God? What's God telling us? What was God telling them? Don't get caught up in idols and idolatry and the system. It's cursed. It's cursed. If you get in it and you stay, you're going to get stung. That's what you're going to do. So therefore, chapter 30, God, what did you tell them? And think of Sunday school and that you don't have any power to make a choice. What did God give Israel? Straightway. You know it. Verse 19, we read it. I call heaven, chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record, make record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm telling you what to do. Don't get in the system. Cursed. I tell you to be blessed. And that's what I want. That's the opposite of cursing. Blessing. And God said, I want to bless you. I don't want to curse you. I don't want to do that. And God tells them, that's their choice. Israel has to make a choice. Am I going to be blessed or cursed? So, hang on, jumping over if I can. In the light of that, we need to jump over for time. And over to, if I can, over to the book of Galatians. As you would guess. And the book of Galatians. And our Lord, in his most wonderful way, if I can, and in Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians 3, and you will note, keeping in mind God. So what are we going to do? God, what did you do? I did something wonderful for you. I did something cursed. Adam and Eve sinned. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. So therefore, and if you persist, you're going to die in your sins. Not because of your sins, you're going to die in your sins. And therefore, it's cursed. Now, God, what did you tell Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman, etc., is going to provide God is going to provide a wonderful Savior born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, so picking up in chapter 3, if I may, if you can help God. Chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The law says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Deuteronomy 27, 26, it says, all, you're cursed, all, everything. If you leave God out, cursed, it isn't going to come out. So therefore, chapter 3, verse 10, and as many as you works under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not, we just read in Deuteronomy, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And, verse 11, and that, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law only does what to us? It curses us. The law says you must produce righteousness, and we can't produce righteousness, so we're bankrupt, and we can't do it. So therefore, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. John, 1 Peter 2:24, what do you know? Christ took himself and allowed himself to be hung on a tree. Where did he die? On that wooden cross. He died on that tree. He was cursed for you and me. He was cursed. He became a curse. He became a curse. So what? He took my sin in his own body on the tree. He took it and became, he was treated. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was accursed completely. That's what he did for you and for me. So that what are we doing? What are we learning from Joshua chapter 6? God said, I want you to understand, I cursed. The wages of sin is death. Verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. And I give you a gift, a free gift. How can you ever give me the gift when I'm cursed? He took your curse, the curse that's on you. He took it on himself and took it to the cross, and he bears our curse in his own body on the tree. So that what? The word devoted, like in Leviticus 27, that we can be devoted to God, to give to God. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. God owns us from stem to stern, of stem, whatever, to the whole thing. God owns us. He bought us. Yeah. Devoted. That which is devoted to God belongs to God, and no one else can have it. No man, think of John 10, no man is able to pluck you out of my hand, said God. No one can have you. No one. You're mine. No one. I became a curse And I bought you with a price. And that's what communion is about. To remember what? He paid to own you. He paid for you to know him and enjoy him. And what's the opposite of curse? Blessing. God to bless your heart. In a crooked world, going in all kinds of ways, and in our own bodies, as we live with them, live in them and with them, God has taken that to the cross and made it possible, the gospel, good news, that God is able to go and do exceeding abundant above all that I could ever ask or think, to bring me what? I'm not going to be cursed. That's what you read, jumping. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. You're not going to be punished. No, I can't be punished. He's cursed. He's cursed. I can't be. He took me to the cross. I'm his. I belong to him. Do I deserve it, understand it? No. But it is so. It is so. Now, having said that little bit, bought with a price, and be holy, for I am holy. And that's what you have to understand. I have to quit. Time's gone. You got a little bit? A little bit to understand. Cursed. God said, I became cursed for you so that you would not be. You'll never be. And that's the difference. Think of Sunday school again. That's what you'll never be. Because all the minute you receive the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, keep putting it together. He that hath the Son hath what? Hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what I did for you. I made it. When does all of this start? The moment you believe and trust him. All of this is now. To be trusting, knowing, going. It isn't something pie in the sky later. Something. No. No. It's a wonderful thing God has done for you and for us. And that's what it's all about. It's so different than the world system of churches, generally speaking, that we live in. It's so different. It's meant to be now. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to learn it for. So that I have to understand, am I cursed because I got my problems? Oh, no. You're blessed in your problems. And you learn to be blessed by your problems. And I thank God the problems we got, pain, whatever you got, different things people have, you got it. But thank God you can't have it only so long. And God says you're only going to have it a little while. So be of good cheer. You're blessed. And I own you. You're bought with a price. I trust that helped a little bit as we take of the Lord's table to understand God's wonderful word, accursed. Yeah. He became accursed for me so that I would not ever have to be accursed. And God said, now that I own you, no one else can have you because accursed, things that are cursed belong to whatever. The people can devote their heart, they can devote their animals to God. And God has devoted his Son. And in devoting his Son to the cross to save us. And then when we get saved, we get saved. Be his here is Christ. Here's Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And God said, listen, I became accursed for you. So that what? You in Christ and Christ in you. It's free. It's God's. No one else's. So when you lay in bed tonight, you belong to him. Top to bottom. And the bed may be too short, and the blanket may be too small. But be of good cheer. You aren't trusting the bed. and you aren't trusting the blanket. You're trusting God. I gotta quit. Hope you got a little bit. And as we go, God help us. So God, here we are, and we want to go and honor you and just be mindful of truth, of what you've done for us, to enjoy it and to practice it. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.